Well, good morning, everyone. So excited to see each and every one of you here in the room today. For those of you who are here and present, for those of you who are watching online, and all of our friends over at Decatur City Church, we are so excited to be here today. And I'm excited to have this opportunity to kick off this new series. But just in case you don't know who I am, my name's April. And I get to be on staff here, and I get to serve in our care department. And our care department offers support and resources for those who are navigating challenging seasons of life. And it's one of my favorite things to do, being a part of Buckhead Church. But I also get excited about opportunities like this, where we get to kick off new series. And I'm excited about this one, and it's called Family Matters. Now, I know many of you have already started singing the song in your head, "It's a Rare Condition This Day and Age." And for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, it's really okay. It was a really popular show back in about 1989 and 1997. Really cool show. I was definitely liking Stefan Urkel. I did not like Steve Urkel, but Stefan Urkel was dope. But we're not here to talk about this show. We're not talking about that today. But we, over the next 3 weeks, want to take a strategic look at the idea of family and what that looks like and the relationship between our biological family and the family of God. And today, I want to start specifically talking about the family of God. I want to hone in on what this means. And when you hear the word family, okay, what comes to mind when you hear the word family? For many of you, there's a collage of pictures that come to your mind. You see your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa. You see cousins and aunts and uncles and so many family members, sisters and brothers. And it's this beautiful journey. You have experiences of family dinners and holidays, and you get warm fuzzies when you think about your family. But maybe that's not what you see when you hear the word family. Perhaps that's not the picture that comes to your mind. Maybe you have a big question mark. Like, how in the world did I get a part of this family? What was God thinking when he paired me with these people? Or who is my family? Where do I even come from? Why am I here, a part of this group of people? Maybe you think about broken promises and empty words. You think about pain and drama and chaos and separation. Honestly, family is super complicated. And your family is no different from mine. Family can be your greatest joy, and it can also be one of your greatest sorrows. For some of you, you're in the room today, and you're longing for family. You're just waiting for your boo to show up so y'all can get together and you can start having kids and you can start a family and feel like that you're doing what everybody else is doing. And for the other people, they're like, "Can I get out of here? I don't want to be a part of this family anymore." But family was created by God. God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, full and complete, poured out his love on creation. And in his pouring, he created us. In Genesis chapter 2, he created us, humankind, male and female. He created us to be the display of his love and a reflection of his glory. And when he looked at it, what did he say it was? He said it was very good. He said that it was good. But when we think about family, is that how we feel? Do we feel like family is very good? Is that the feeling that we have? Is that really the reality for our families? For many of us, the answer to that question is no. And what makes us family anyway? What makes a person family? Generally, it starts biologically. There's a biology that brings a group of people together. And then you have marriage. You have in-laws that are married into the family. And you may have stepchildren and step-grandchildren and all step-dogs and step-babies and all these types of things. And all this family is created. And you also have adoption that is a part of all of that. But what about the family of God? What's the common thread that binds us together? Aren't we all God's children? Aren't we all a part of his family? How does the family of God intersect with my personal family? Well, there's a narrative that's found in the Gospels that I think sheds a lot of light on many of those questions as it pertains to family, and specifically the family of God. Now, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the story of Jesus's life here on earth. And all of them state that as he began his ministry, his earthly ministry here, he started by proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That he was the Son of God. He was going around telling everybody, what you have been looking for, what you've been waiting for, it's here. I am here. I am the Son of God. And he says to all these people, he starts referring to God as our Father, as your Father and my Father. He's talking and having conversations with people, and he's always referring to God as Father. And people came from all around to hear his teaching and to see his miracles. They came from everywhere. And on one particular occasion, he was traveling in Galilee. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 20, it says this. It says, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind." They were talking about Jesus, y'all. He was going around every town and every village, and he was teaching and proclaiming the good news, the long-awaited news that the Messiah, who we've been waiting for, has come, and he was establishing a kingdom. He was healing every sickness and every disease, and he was drawing crowds from everywhere. But was his family proud of him? Was his family excited about what they were seeing their relative doing? Were they spreading the word and telling everybody, come and see what's happening? No. They were out amongst the crowd telling others, he is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. This man is crazy. And can you imagine how that made him feel? I imagine perhaps he felt hurt or betrayed. Maybe he felt unseen and misunderstood. And we're even going to see that his mother was with them. The same mother where an angel came down from heaven and told her specifically who he was and what he was going to do. She was there with his brothers among the crowd. Maybe they were ashamed of him. Maybe he was embarrassing the family because it says that they wanted to take charge of him. In other words, it was like they were saying, let's get him out of here before he disgraces all of us. So Matthew picks up the story in chapter 12, verse 46, and he says, "While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him." So notice what's happening here. They're outside. They're amongst the crowd. They are onlookers. They're not in his inner circle. They're not there at his feet helping. They're not creating space for people to come in. They're outside among the crowd, and they're telling everybody that they think that he's crazy and that they want to speak to him. Now, I got a little curious when I read that. You know, sometimes we can read a verse of scripture, and we read it very passively, and we think we understand all the words. But I was curious, just wanted to find out, what does speak mean in this context? And so I looked it up, and it's a Greek word that's laleo, and it means to use words in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thoughts. So what that tells me is that this wasn't just general conversation. They weren't wanting to come in and say, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Long time no see. Are you coming home for dinner tonight? That's not the conversation that they wanted to have with him. No, they had words for him. It was more like, hey, I got something I need to say to you. And so what happens after that, verse 47? Someone told him, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. They're saying, Jesus, your family is outside and they have words for you. Now, remember, they wanted to take charge of him. They wanted to get him out of there. And I can't imagine that their posture in this situation or their attitude was gentle. It wasn't like, hey, can y'all go tell Jesus that I want to talk to him? No, that's not how it was. I believe it was probably more aggressive. And this person felt that their request, as family members, of course, warranted interrupting Jesus. It warranted stopping him in his tracks from what he was saying and interrupting him. Think about that for a second. Jesus is talking. The creator of the universe, God in flesh, is speaking. And I looked at that word, and it's the very same word, laleo. In other words, Jesus, the Messiah, is using his words to declare his mind and disclose his thoughts to people who have gathered around to hear his message. And he's interrupted to be told that your family wants to use their words to declare their mind and disclose their thoughts to you. And of course, they should have every right to do that. They're family, right? They should have every right to interrupt and to pull you aside. It's respectful. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been interrupted while you were trying to talk? I mean, seriously. Okay, it's just me. Have you ever been interrupted while you were trying to gather the words that matter to you to express your thoughts and you were interrupted while you were speaking to someone, trying to share your heart and your mind with someone? How does that make you feel when you're interrupted? How do you respond? I know y'all probably love Jesus a lot more than I do because, I mean, maybe y'all are kind and gentle, but when somebody interrupts me when I'm talking, I'm like, excuse me, I was talking. I'm sorry, I was using my words. My brother, he used to play this horrible thing on me and I hated it. I would be talking and I would be so excited. He'd wait till I was really excited about something that I was saying and I'd just be talking and I'd be talking to him and he'd looking at me like, yeah. And then he'd just turn and walk away right in the middle of the conversation. And I'd be like, I can't stand you. He would always mess with me like that, interrupting me when I'm talking like, yeah, I know you're talking, but I've decided that what you are saying is not as important as what I want to say. Yeah, I know you're talking, but I've decided that what I have to say has more value or priority than what you are saying. Translation, I hear you, but I'm not really listening. I hear you, but I disagree. And I've already formed my rebuttal, so I'm not even really hearing what you have to say anymore. And this is challenging with anyone, but especially with family. But Jesus had an assignment. Jesus knows exactly who he is. Jesus knows that he has come to establish a kingdom. He is on mission. Jesus knows that the good news of the kingdom of heaven has come, and this message must be proclaimed. And despite what he's feeling on the inside, if he's hurt and he's disappointed and he feels alone, despite his own family rejecting him, he stays on mission. He stays on assignment. And he takes this opportunity where this huge crowd is watching, and even his family, who's telling everybody he's crazy, all eyes are on him. He takes this opportunity to elevate the family of God. In verse 46, it says, he replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" In other words, who's my family? Now, this might have made them all think, well, he must be crazy. They must be right. Because we all know who your family is. They all knew who he was. They would even say, isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Jesus from Nazareth? Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? He had been around them for 33 years. He had been in community with them. He had uncles and cousins and everybody. He had four brothers and at least two sisters that we have record of. And you also have to understand that the family unit was central to the Jewish society. with special strong emphasis on loyalty and responsibility towards one another. So his question may have really seemed extremely disrespectful, very dishonoring, dismissive, and even harsh. But Jesus was asking a bigger question. We all know Jesus is never asking a question for himself. He's always asking questions for those that are around. And so he took this opportunity to redefine terms, to include or to introduce something bigger than biology, something spiritual, something greater, something eternal. And it says, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus wanted them to consider and see who was his spiritual family, the family of God, the kingdom family. He wanted to point them out very specifically and be very clear that those who may not have been his biological family by relation, he didn't point to them, but he pointed to those who chose to believe in him and to follow him. He says, they are his family. And this was huge. Jesus was establishing kingdom family. Jesus was establishing the family of God. And he knew that he had an earthly family. He knew he had a biological family, cousins and uncles and aunts and community and friends and all of these people. He knew that they were there and his family mattered to him. He wasn't devaluing them, but he took the opportunity to teach everyone in earshot and you and I right now that obedience to his heavenly Father took priority over anything else. And Jesus was on a mission to build the kingdom of God, not by means of a military command, not by building an army, because, you know, everybody expected that that's what the Messiah was coming to do. He was coming to tear down their oppressor. He was coming to tear down Rome and establish a kingdom and to take over by military means. But that's not Jesus's MO. That's not how he operated. He was doing something new, something bigger, something greater. God in flesh came to earth through his son, Jesus Christ, to establish an eternal kingdom by building a new family, an eternal family. And why does the kingdom of God, why does this kingdom family matter so much? Well, to put it simply, it's because God is love. And everything he creates is to be a reflection of his love and a display of his glory. It was the way it was in the beginning. God created, he created us all to be a perfect reflection of his love and a display of his glory. That's what he wanted all along. It was good. He looked at us, he saw us, he created us, he formed us, each and every one of us. The way you see yourself, with your complexion, with your personality, with your uniqueness, he created it all and he said it was good and he established his family, but then sin came and it broke up the family. Sin separated us from our Creator, our Heavenly Father. But Jesus came to bring us home. Jesus came to reconcile us, to reconcile the family of God. So how? How do we become a part of this family? Well, Jesus said it for us. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, those are my family. And what's the will of the Father? Follow the Son. That's the Father's will. Follow the Son. Jesus said in John 14, 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." God wants us to be a part of his family. No matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter your political beliefs, no matter your socioeconomic status, no matter your age or your stage or season of life, whether you've got a horrible past or everything's been peachy, it doesn't matter. No matter what it looks like, God wants us all to be a part of his family. But guess what? It's not about coming to church every week. It's not about checking that box. It's not about being a good person. There's so many good people in the world, and that's wonderful. We need good people in the world. It's not about trying really hard. We can't earn our way into the family of God. But just as a child chosen by adoptive parents is brought into their family and given all the rights and the privileges as an heir, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. So as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we believe that it's because of the blood of Jesus that we are family. That is the thread that binds us together. That makes you my brother. That makes you my sister. That makes us family. That makes us family. And that bond is eternal. That bond will never end. So whether you like me today or not, it doesn't matter. You stuck with me. Whether you agree with what I think or my opinions, it doesn't matter. You stuck with me. Whether you want to invite me to family dinner or not, it doesn't matter. You're stuck with me. As followers of Jesus, our lives will require us to do exactly what Jesus did, to choose to prioritize obedience to our Heavenly Father over everything else. Nothing else matters. And being a part of the family of God, that matters. It matters to be a part of his family. So if you are a believer and you're in this place today, what's up? We fam. You stuck with me. I love you too. You're my brother. You're my sister. We actually, when we grew up at church, I don't know, maybe some of y'all went to church like this too. We called each other brother and sister so-and-so. There was Brother Billy and Sister Dee and Sister Lewis, and everybody was a brother or sister, and it created this family unit that whether or not my family, my biological family was around, I knew if I went to Sister Dee's house, she was going to whoop me if I misbehaved just like my mama would. She was going to correct me. I knew that I had to honor the people in my family just like I honor the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. So let's be a display of God's love and a reflection of his glory. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't quite made that step yet, I would be remiss not to invite you into the greatest family you could ever be a part of. I don't know what your family looks like. I don't know what challenges you may have faced. You might have a wonderful family. You can't imagine it getting better than that. But guess what? It does. It's so wonderful. And just like your real natural family, you don't always agree and you don't always think the same way. But the tie that binds is the blood of Jesus. And I want to invite you to be a part of that family today. As I was preparing for this message, I had this song I had to learn a couple of weeks ago to sing at the living room, the college ministry we have, but it was at Woodstock City. And I was having a very, very hectic week. I had a lot of stuff on my plate, and I was preparing to write this sermon, and I had a lot of stuff going on, and they sent me the set list, and the service was on Wednesday, and they sent me the songs on Monday, and I'm always assuming, okay, it's going to be a song I know. But then they threw in this new song, and I'm like, I don't have time to learn a new song. Like, come on. But we do what we're supposed to do, you know. So in the midst of all of my business, in the midst of all of my doing and being and actively engaging in the family, I heard this song and I put it in my ears as I was cleaning up around my house, doing my thing, just in my mind, just learning a new song. But I got to about the middle of this song and I couldn't move anymore. I just wept and I cried because the words of this song stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me in my doing, and it gently reminded me that this family, this stuff that you're doing, the work that you do to uplift the kingdom of God, yeah, I appreciate it, but don't ever forget that you're a part of this family, not because of how good you are, not because of the things that you do, not because of the fact that you serve or that you give or you participate in all these things. That's not why you're a part of this family. You're a part of this family because of the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus shed his blood to pay the price for my sin. And the song just wrecked me. So I've invited our worship team here and the team there at Decatur City Church. I've invited them to come and sing this song. I couldn't sing it because I wouldn't make it through it. I just wouldn't. But I wanted this song to be sung. And if you're a believer here today, I pray that this song wrecks you like it wrecked me. That it gently reminds you that all the good we do is wonderful. God uses it, and it's a part of the upbuilding of the family of God. But never forget that it's because of the blood of Jesus that we get to be a part of this amazing family. And if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you that there is one way into this family. Just like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And this man, Jesus, shed his blood so that we could be reconciled. So we don't just have to say that God is our creator, but that we can call him Daddy. We can call him Father. Just like our sister said in her testimony before she was baptized, that she has a Father who is perfect. And that same Father wants to look at you and call you son and daughter. And so I'm going to invite them. I'm going to pray. And typically, you know, there's times where we ask you to raise your hand or come down. But we're not going to do that today because you don't need me. I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus, as we sing this song, I want you to listen to the words. And I just want you to have a conversation with him. And all you have to do, say, I don't know if I recognize that you're my Father, but I hear today that you want me to be your son or your daughter. And all you have to do is invite him in to believe the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross, that he died for your sin, and believe that and confess your sin to him and say, God, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Will you welcome me into your family? And I promise you, you'll never, ever be the same. So I'm going to pray, and the team's going to come out and sing this song, and then I'm going to come back up. Father, I'm so glad that I can call you that. And I know it's not because I'm a good person. I know it's not because I've done everything right, because I haven't. And I have a wonderful family. God, I love my family dearly. But thank you for the opportunity to be a part of an eternal family. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to pave the way, to open the gate that leads to eternal life, an eternal kingdom with you, a family bigger and greater than I could ever imagine. So, Father, for those of us in the room that are already following you, remind us, refresh us of the value of the blood that you shed on the cross for us. And for those who are questioning and wondering, God, I pray that you would clear the mud long enough for us to make a decision to choose to be a part of your family today, not tomorrow, not next week, but now, to step in and to receive the love that you poured out so willingly on the cross for us. We bless you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.